You entrepreneurs, today we have the owners of De Bartolo Rimini Design Studio. It's a mouthful, but you know what? Once you say it, it doesn't get easier, but still, it's a mouthful. So we have Ivan Riminick and Craig Howard. They are, again, designers here in San Diego. They bring an Australian feel to the cookie cutter way of looking at things in San Diego. So take a listen, please subscribe, and tell your friends.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, so we are here with Ivan Riminick.
Perfect.
Well, and the next one's a lot easier for everyone. It's like Craig Howard. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think I did. I think you nailed it. Didn't make it too difficult for you.
All right, so they are designers behind the De Bartolo Riminick Design Studio.
Yep, that's a wonderful Australian name there. De Bartolo Riminick.
So you guys are designers.
Yeah.
And Ivan, you're from Australia?
Yep.
Craig, where are you from?
I'm from Northern California.
Where in Northern California?
I'm from a little town called Tracy, which is about an hour or so east of San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. All right. So tell us, Ivan, your story from Australia. I know, Craig, we're going to get to you and your riveting story from the far land of California.
Yeah. Cornfields out here.
But Ivan, so what brought you from Australia to San Diego?
Yeah, well, that all happened in 2005. It was me and Paul that were working for an architectural firm in Sydney. And the owner of that company decided to set up a development company, Constellation Property Group, to be based in San Diego and to do development in San Diego, but with a more Australian design flair. So Paul came over originally 2005, and then I came in 2007, and then we were working for Constellation doing properties in Austin, in Texas, in Tempe, Scottsdale, San Diego, all over the place, Mexico as well. And unfortunately, that only lasted a few years. And then we had the recession that came in 2008. And Constellation folded. And then Paul, myself, decided let's hang around and let's have a crack in wonderful California, because it really was wonderful. It's an amazing part of the world. And so
you're really trying to win over some new audience, huh?
Yeah.
So beautiful here. So fantastic.
Absolutely. And I had my surfboard, my convertible, and I was living the life. And then so we, our first company, it's just us two. We decided to call it Funky Texture Studio. Funky Texture because we really loved Renegades of Funk by Rage Against the Machine. But yeah,
that's where that came from.
Yeah, we wanted, it was like a rebellious sort of thing, and unfortunately Funky Texture didn't sort of translate too well with sort of the more corporate clients, and then we just really just changed it to who we were. It was Paul Di Bartolo, me, so it became Bartolo Riminick Design Studio since 2011, and we're still here pumping out great work. Yeah.
So in 2000, you said it was 2006 or 2007 when you actually started the
Funky Texture as in architecture.
Yes. Yeah. So 5 years of that company.
Yeah.
Right? And then when you switched over to the current company.
Yeah.
Right. Was there a big difference in the office space, in your design, in anything that was a big change?
Everything was a big difference. Okay. Funky Texture Studio worked out of the dining room of the house that we were renting. And we also actually had other people who came to work out of our dining room. So obviously, as work started to come along, we needed to be more professional, and an office space was the most critical thing. When you bring clients in, you need to make an impression that you're serious.
Was it scary at all to bring on more overhead? And actually bring on overhead with the building, bring on overhead with employees, everything like that?
It always is, because you have that 1% in the back of your head thinking, well, what happens if it's not going to work? If you do have some faith in yourself, you are going to take risk. You're going to take risk by paying rent. You're going to take risk by forking out money for employees, for paying insurance, everything that comes with a business. But if you do have some belief, it will grow and it will pay off.
Was there any moment when you closed down the Funkature studio that you're like, we're gonna go back to the corporate world and actually get that paycheck?
No. Our work, whether it was with Funkitecture or DBRDS, is always a modern form of building, and a responsive form. So we weren't sort of too driven by, you know, what's corporate or even what's conservative or what's the in thing. I think our work always has a little rebellious streak in it, that we didn't want to follow any trends. The mindset is still there. It's just the name has changed.
So when did you jump into the company, Craig?
Well, I jumped in the fall of 2012. I moved down here from Tracy to go to school. There's a local architecture school just a few blocks away, New School. And when I graduated in 2012, it was rough. We were still coming out of the recession, and I was having to compete with other students who had graduated, students from recent years who were still looking for work, and then people who got fired. So I was having to compete with a lot of people. And I didn't have anything to do that summer. I couldn't find a job. So I started volunteering for a local nonprofit here, the San Diego Architectural Foundation. And Paulie at that time was, I think he was vice president of that foundation at that time. If not, he was a board member, and he was vice president just a little bit later. But that's where I met Paulie. And at the time, he was running their biggest event, still their biggest event, which is their yearly award show, Orchids and Onions, where they give out awards for the best and not so best architecture and design of the year. And he and I, we just clicked immediately. We worked closely together on putting that presentation together. We did the big jury tour where we load everybody up on a bus. Like, we just, for whatever reason, he and I just clicked. And it was shortly after that, he asked, "Hey, man, you got anything going on Friday afternoon? You want to come in?" And that's how it started for me. I came in, I think, once a week for a few months. And then it was like, "Hey, can you come in on Monday? Hey, can you come in on Wednesday?" And it just kind of slowly built to the point where I think I eventually kind of came full time about a year later. And I've been here ever since.
So for that, in that first year, so that was basically a year after they started their new yeah. platform.
So when I came in here, we'll say it's a relatively decent sized conference room. This was our office. Yeah. We shared the space with a friend of ours who's a landscape architect, David McCullough, who was in that space across the way, and he was upstairs in our loft, which I know I'm pointing, which everybody can see.
Just imagine, just close your eyes.
Yeah, just close your eyes and imagine our space. the three of us, Ivan, myself, and Paulie, our little conference table, we were all crammed in here.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, David and his crew moved out. They moved across town, and we took this space over, got a hold of Jose over here. And
did you realize they were so new and with a new company?
Yeah, I did. And it was just from conversations with Paulie early on, like as a recent grad, just pestering him about the work he does. Like my dream goal when I graduated college, my dream goal was like, I want to work for a small design studio.
Yeah.
I want to work for, you know, an office of four or five people heavy on design. And these guys were exactly that bill. So it was really just kind of just me hammering Pauly to the point where he would, all right, man, come in. Yeah. Stop, leave me alone if it means you're going to come in and work for us. So it ended up working out.
So back to your history, Ivan. Now, was it always the want as a little kid to be a designer? Were you playing with Legos, trying to build stuff? Were you thinking about how to fix things in the house?
Okay, interesting. Being a slightly older generation, all we really had was pencils and papers.
Wait, how old are you?
Sorry?
How old are you?
It's halfway. halfway. And so, yeah, drawing became the outlet. Other than drawing, I was the remote control where Dad would say, "Hey, Ivan, go change a channel for me," and then click, 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 click. drawing was wonderful. It was therapeutic. It was creative. It was imaginative. So I guess being an architect wasn't necessarily the first choice. I had the choice of just doing drafting, technical drafting. But then after doing that, it's only so much you can do just drawing all day.
Yeah.
And then obviously the next step was architecture, and then that sort of broadened the horizon, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
paper to pen kind of thing, and that was just
draw. It's a great way to express yourself. Much easier than talking over a podcast.
Did you ever think about being an artist, or is it just like you were more of kind of like the structure?
Well, interesting you bring that up, because we trying to make our architecture with sort of a more artistic expression, making it sort of more unique. Now, when I'm not saying we're doing what Frank Gehry does or Zaha Hadid does, I mean, that is the ultimate expression, artistic expression in architecture. And realistically, we also have to deal with commercial reality where things are going to cost.
Yeah.
But in all our work, we do try to have an artistic input into it.
So, and you guys, both of you guys have a very different background, right? You and Craig, with your Australian background.
Yeah.
I know you have that it's, the work has more of a kind of a Australian feel to it.
Yeah.
Can you describe for people listening how that would be different from, I guess, more American feel, something maybe that Craig was picking up in school?
Okay. I think Australia does tend to have more of a theoretical edge to it, but not as theoretical as Europeans. I mean, a lot of the European architecture is just absolutely mind-blowing. Mm. Whereas the American, I think, is a very code-based, very technical, and I don't want to say it's not as creative, but and the other thing culturally is that a lot of buildings in Europe and in Australia are government funded, which means you can use more of the taxpayers' dollars to do something different. Whereas in the US, most of the buildings are very cost conscious, and most of it is also private enterprise. So with the exception of art galleries like the Getty Centers, where money is unlimited, do you sort of see really amazing architecture. The Walt Disney Concert Hall is another one, Frank Gehry.
You describe it, so the United States is, or kind of the United States way of looking at our architecture is more of kind of in the lines, right? By code, with the European being the other side of the spectrum of kind of the really out of the box thinking, with Australia kind of being
in between.
In between.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What about you, Craig? How would you? Would is that a fair assumption or a fair?
Yeah, that's a fair assumption. Paulie and I were just in Sydney last year, and it's a lot of very modern architecture. A lot of architecture that is utilizing the climate very well, which is what I think appeals to us about San Diego. San Diego has the best climate in the country, we think, and Sydney's not too dissimilar from that. So there's a lot of open spaces. There's a lot of big windows open to the sky, bring the outside in. And that's what that's kind of our main design, our design direction is how do we do that? How do we bring the outside in and vice versa? And, I would say that it's not easy to do necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, with a lot of developments, it's a lot of, you know, what can we kind of pull off the like what was on sale this week at IKEA?
Yeah.
You know, what can we pull off the shelf? You know, if something breaks, how quickly can I run down to Home Depot and go get a replacement? Which is great. I mean, if you're trying to do stuff quickly and cheaply, but for us, that's not how we operate. For us, it's much more than that. It's much more open. It's much more. I don't know. I'll
give an example.
Yeah, please.
I mean, in Sydney apartment living, every unit is expected to have a decent deck, and I'm thinking, you know, at least 100 to 200 square feet of deck that extends from the living space. And whereas if you do this here, a deck is it's a huge expense, and it's one of the first things that gets value engineered out. So typically, you just have a little pop out or something. But the way Californians, San Diegans make up for it is usually they'll have a roof deck on top of a house or an apartment. They'll have a common open space. So they kind of, culturally, we do things a little different.
Wow. So you're saying the majority of apartments, condos have some sort of deck in Sydney?
Yes.
Is it like 90%, 80%, something, but fairly big? Wow.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, it's part of our lifestyle. It's what we expect in a product.
Yeah.
Whereas in here, not so much.
And you said you did some work in Mexico too, right? Did you say Mexico?
Yeah.
You did work in Mexico. Is there a different, where does that usually lean towards? Is that leaning more towards like kind of like the want for the more of the American style, more of the Australian style, European style? What?
Mexicans, I think, as well as locally, they also have, in my opinion, more of a European feel. They're very comfortable with using concrete, cement. They're very comfortable with modern architecture everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't see styles of architecture in Mexico or even in South America.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel in the US, people still lean towards a particular style. In terms of Mexico, we really do enjoy what they come up with.
It allows you kind of the freedom to.
Yes.
So has there been any kind of struggles of, because you have a unique way of looking at architecture, right?
Yep.
Has there been any sort of struggles when you're dealing with clients and they go, I just want this done, just this cookie cutter thing?
Always. Okay. Always. And the struggles vary. It can start at the beginning where someone is interested in doing a project, but they would like a particular style. We do kindly tell them, no, we're not interested. So we avoid that pain.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
How long did that take you from once you actually started your company to... Because that's an idea of an abundance, right? Most people have scarcity, so they'll willing to take everything in. But when you come from that idea of abundance, you're going to have enough clients that you can give away those people. How long did it take you to come to that?
That was always our consensus from day one.
Okay.
We are just uncomfortable in recreating or decorating a house to look like it comes from a period.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just... It's not, our brains are not wired like that. We just can't do it. We don't want to do it. We're all the more healthier and happier for not taking on those particular projects.
Jump in real fast. Craig, like being that you went to school with probably a lot of people, you know, locally, Would you say that's, because that seems more of a not a American way of looking at things, being happy and healthy with your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so is how was that? Because I'm assuming you probably keep in contact with a lot of people you went to school with, and they have to do those kind of things on a consistent basis.
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of my friends are actually in bigger firms doing bigger projects, where, okay, like healthcare, institutional stuff. So they're not necessarily doing the same stuff that we're doing.
Yeah.
I would definitely say that the way that Paulie and Ivan think about design and how their approach to it is actually really refreshing, because it's very easy for a lot of people, like you just said, that, oh, a client just walked through my door, whatever they want to do, I'll do it because I want that check. It'd be very easy to do that. It's much more harder to have a set of values and a mission statement and stick to it. Like we've had clients come in and say, hey, I want to do a Victorian stuff. We're not, you know, I want to do the Italian village. Like, we're not in Italy. We're in San Diego. So it's you know, on the one hand, it kind of hurts telling those people no, but on the other hand, it's like it's meant a lot of success for us, because we get to focus exactly on the things we want to do.
Yeah.
And it's a really refreshing take. I would probably ask Jose the same thing when he came in here. It's very refreshing to have a very focused, laser focused design intent. It keeps things, I think, it keeps things original. It keeps things interesting. And it kind of gives us an identity in a way. You know, we can point at any project we ever did and go, that's ours. That's us.
Yeah. So going back, Yvonne, to like having, you know, I mean, that understanding with people that come into the shop here, I mean, your office.
I like that shop.
what other struggles have you had to overcome? Are you and Paulie and
Craig? The struggles. Well, it's like with every business, you want exposure, you want to educate. We want clients, we want to educate them why things are done, and we obviously want to get built works. And so we do what every other business does, because architecture and buildings are very visual things. So it's only appropriate that Facebook, Instagram, we want people to see our work and our designs. And Paul has been very vocal in engaging with local community groups. The San Diego Architectural Foundation is one of them, which is a great organization that's out there to educate the public about architecture in the urban environment. And
so just getting front and center. And so let's say if, and maybe you don't want to give Paulie a big head. I've never met him, but you know, you don't give head. But let's say, would you be feel comfortable being in that face? Let's say Paulie gets sick, he can't be out there.
You'd
be
in the face.
He's Australia, and you on Instagram taking pictures of yourself.
Damn you, Paulie! You're laying there down on that, making me do all the hard work. Oh. It's just like everything in life. Paul does an amazing job.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of grateful that I'm getting to do this, because it always puts things in perspective of what the other person is doing.
Yes.
So it's, I wouldn't say it's a wonderful experience, but it is definitely an experience. It's hard work. Networking is hard work. I know there's lots of drinking and eating involved, but...
It's something that I like in the longest time when in my field I did it. I was just one of those things like, I can't do it. And now I push out of my comfort zone to do it. And it's like, all right, just breathe. Let's go back out there.
And that is something we found the Americans are very good at. They love these networkings. They have events nonstop, and
what else are we good at?
Well, being that your office is downtown,
yeah,
there has to be a networking event every single night of the week here.
Well, they do a big like real estate. I don't know what the name of it is at the Mediterranean Cafe right across the street.
Yeah,
every week, like every Thursday on a dime, every morning it's a big real estate conference. 100 like, people down there.
Oh, our business cards are just left there. Oh, yeah, fantastic!
Yeah. I'm gonna leave some of these booklets lying around. See what happens.
It's one thing to express yourself behind the drawing board or behind the computer, but it's a completely different thing to actually do it physically in front of people. So, yeah.
What if you could talk to maybe your younger self, that kid that was drawing on a paper, or even someone in school right now, like going to, you know, for design, what kind of advice would you give either the young kid or that other person?
Well, schools these days, again, coming to America, they have this thing called show and tell, which we've never had that in Australia. But
you guys didn't have show and tell?
No, not at school.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, yeah. We've never had, coming from a Christmas break, you know, everyone tell us about your show and tell. It was never that. But here, it's a very different thing. You're encouraged, and people should be encouraged to stand up in front of the class, and it's a really wonderful way to you know, express yourself and not keep things bottled in. That's the truly amazing thing, that the more you can sort of speak in front of people, you're just letting go, and things will just flow from that.
Okay, yeah. Well, everything has a negative, everything has a positive, right? So maybe you didn't have the show and tell in Australia, but what were some of the things that you guys had out there that maybe we don't have it here in the schooling?
Oh,
is there anything that you can think of off the top of your head?
I don't, because the interesting thing is in the age we live in now with YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, we have things like the TEDx talks, and so you don't necessarily have to be in the US to enjoy a TEDx talk. You can watch it on your TV screen live. So it's all becoming very connected. And I just even remember working with Constellation here, while it was almost the end of day here, it was just beginning working in Australia. So the work cycle was just like 24 hours nonstop.
Talking about the information, I forgot who I was listening to about this, but they said that in our day and age, with so much technology, so much at our fingertips, right, that it's a choice to be ignorant about anything.
Totally.
I was like, wow, that's, yeah.
It's a choice, and but for the most part, we do embrace it, but sometimes it consumes us.
Yeah.
So
you're talking about going down the rabbit hole and like a YouTube video to the next YouTube video of how to do this and how to do this.
I was saying that, I think Craig or Jose the other day, with the architectural social media on Facebook, you can scroll works and you can look at the visuals really quickly. Scroll, 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 click, click, click. Back in the days is you would buy a book, and then you would spend hours on the book. You would flip the page, you would read the text, you would study the floor plans. Mm. But these days, you'll do a building in 5 seconds and move on to the next one. It's just crazy.
To be hyper local focused right here, where do you see the architecture in San Diego going over the next 5, 10, 15 years?
Good question.
Well, I think I'll answer. I'll make the first answer, the controversial answer, and then you can come in and save the day. The cry right now from everybody is housing. It's all either housing is too expensive, or there's not enough of it, or there's not enough housing for families. It's all, you know, studios and one bedrooms and this micro stuff. San Diego has been, the city of San Diego, the governing body of San Diego, has been incredibly aggressive the last couple of years in trying to expand programs for developers and builders and architects to be able to get more on sites when they, you know, in the past few years, or that hasn't been the case. And those are changing constantly. Those rules are constantly updating. And they're becoming even more aggressive with each passing day. And every time we turn around, we have to dig back into the zoning code because something changed and we need to catch up. So I see San Diego as really a the big kind of design challenge in San Diego going forward the next few years, at least in the next few years, if not much longer, is going to be housing. You're going to start to see, we're already seeing it, like if you drive around North Park or if you drive, like just drive up El Cajon Boulevard, you're starting to see these much bigger developments. But and a lot of people, there's a lot of people that don't like having those in their neighborhoods, these bigger developments with less parking and more people living there. But at the end of the day, you know, people need a place to live, and there's still a lot of people moving into San Diego, and the housing stock hasn't really improved all that much. So in the next few years, we're going to see a lot more interesting solutions for housing. And hopefully the city of San Diego can catch up with transit and all the things to support increased housing, which they're working on, but it needs to be accelerated. It needs to be a little more diverse than that. But housing is the big key.
What does, by freeing up the density guidelines, does that at all affect the style that's allowed on like a building or anything like that?
No, not at all. No, there is a few of the neighborhoods. Like every neighborhood in San Diego kind of has their own community plan.
Yeah,
there is a few. Like I believe in North Park, South Park, there is a provision in there that you have to have a chimney or some kind of transom window or something.
A Craftsman style.
Yeah, something like that.
Or mid-century modern style.
Yeah. Those are you can kind of work with those as design. We've worked projects like that. We figured it out. So from a style standpoint, there really isn't one. Okay. We wish, I can't remember the name of the document that Sydney has for multifamily housing about how design is kind of regulated.
Yeah. I think that's SEP 65.
SEP 65, yeah. Yeah. Which is essentially a document that architects and designers use to when they're designing their spaces. And I wish San Diego had something similar to that. Something that like really promotes outdoor living, promotes sustainability. There's not really a good sustainable document that designers and architects are kind of held to. I mean, there's always ways to kind of like, I don't want to say weasel in and out of it, but there's ways that you can kind of work around things if you don't want to include solar panels or electric vehicle parking stations and stuff like that. I wish we had some kind of universal document that was like, hey guys, you can design whatever you want, whatever style you want to do, but it has to include, you know, these few things. I wish we had something like that.
Yeah. Why do you think we don't have something like that?
That's getting there.
It's,
I think.
You think so?
Yeah, the SEP 65, I mean, it's actually a pretty old document. It has to be at least 20 years old.
It's still relevant, though.
Yeah, but it was all about ensuring that every dwelling had cross ventilation. Every dwelling had a minimum hours of sunlight in the winter time. It made sure that the heat overload was minimized. That is the east and west exposure. Things like providing roof projections to give you the shade and give you the sunlight when you needed that. There's sort of none of that here. Yes, we have Title 24, which is more about ticking boxes, but it's still good because it still requires you to put insulation and double glazing and all that helps you be comfortable and energy efficient. So. Going back, that the challenges for San Diego. So yes, we have this huge glut of houses, and it's all wonderful because I can't think of a better place to live other than in San Diego. But
really trying to win over customers, huh?
What's lacking, and what I really do hope the city of San Diego picks up is things on the infrastructure. So we're getting all these people. So how are we going to make San Diego a better place for them? I hate just saying, oh, we got the greatest weather in the world, and then we do nothing. Mm. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
As Howard Blackson would say, the last great big infrastructure project was Balboa Park, and that was over 100 years ago. Mm. And then we've also had Mission Bay, which was huge. But since then... nothing. We think of something. We want to expand the convention center. It's just too hard. It's unbelievable. But I feel that we really need to start making San Diego a true urban place, a true livable urban city.
Why do you think it's so hard to get big projects done in San Diego?
Everyone has an opinion of how things should be done. Oh my God, things like the Chargers Stadium, things like the MLS soccer team, the convention center, the airport's another one. It's 3 million people having 3 million different ideas, and I sort of think I don't have an answer, but one of the answers is always a mayor or leader who has a vision, who is really focused, and I don't think we have that person yet. That could be one of the answers. I don't know.
Oh, fair enough. Very diplomatic.
Yeah, name any names. Yeah. Kept it kosher.
So what's next for you guys?
We've just opened up an office in Sacramento because Sacramento and Reno, we want to expand into Northern California as well we actually want to go global, and like there's the Red Sox Nation, maybe we could, no.
Wait, are you a Red Sox fan?
Yes.
You? Oh my God. Well, I think this is where we end this. No, I'm sorry.
No, we don't. That is an interesting story. That could start at the beginning.
Do you want to specifically talk about 2013? No.
The other wonderful thing about San Diego is a lot of the people here are not from San Diego.
Yes.
They're from somewhere else. Yes. And we met this really wonderful guy. His name was Teddy from Rancho Ted.
Yeah.
And one of the most nicest guy on this planet. And he just took us under the wings, and we took his advice. I took his advice. So for the past 10 years, it was like the best advice ever. And, but we're still...
What was his advice? Hmm? Can you give his advice?
Go root for the Patriots. And,
that was his advice?
Yeah.
That was the best advice.
Think
ever.
About it. How many World Series the Red Sox... It was... And we love San Diego. We want San Diego to succeed. We were so desperate for San Diego to keep the Chargers Stadium that we even did our own proposal, because we want the team to stay. And in fact, even before we came here... as Australians, we knew about the San Diego Chargers because there was this one great punter named Darren Bennett, who was from Australia, and we would read in the papers, "Oh, wow, there's this Australian playing American football."
I still remember as a kid him laying a tackle on someone.
That was in the paper. And we go, "Why can't a punter tackle anyone? What's wrong with that?" But and we're super excited that the Padres, although they're still at 0.5% right now, it's not good enough.
I think I read it this morning, and we'll see when this is released, but it was at, I think, 12% that they had the chance of making the playoffs. That's better than we've had for a long time.
I mean, even though we're Red Sox Patriot fans.
Let me give you the best advice you can handle right now.
Sorry?
Jump on the Padres bandwagon.
Yeah. San Diego to have and the soccer team as well. We hope the Chargers come back and
hoping for an MLS team.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
what's the best way if someone's listening right now and they want to get some kind of a new way of looking at a project, right? And they want to talk to you guys. What would be the best way of getting in contact with you guys?
We're on all the social media. We have a great website and
De Bartolo Runic Design Studio.
Yeah. All you have to type in is dbrds.com and it'll pop up. And we're in Gaslamp downtown. It's a great spot. Lots of great restaurants, coffee shops. Love to, no better place to bring people down and have a chat with them, enjoy the outdoors, have a talk. I mean, we generally, people just not sure what they want. We do, if they're interested in doing something more than a house, we can just do a simple code analysis to see what's allowed. And if they want to go beyond that, they can look at affordable housing, and that will increase their numbers as well. And we can always prepare a few short questions that can go to the city, to answer any specific concerns. And if they're comfortable with all that, then they can move ahead, and we can help them with entitlement, approval. Yeah, all takes time. And
If you guys are listening and you're in the San Diego area, you know, reach out to the group here. You know, I know Yvonne, and he's a great guy. He's not gonna do a hard sell, anything like that. He'll give you honest feedback. If you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, and you're looking for a new design and your business looking to expand, and you want something different than all the cookie cutter places, again, just reach out. Hopefully, you have anything last to say before we sign off here?
No, go the Padres.
Go Padres. Oh, yeah. He was very hesitant on that. I think we have a little more to get him. So hopefully by the time this goes out or in the next couple of months, the Padres do a lot better. And then Yvonne will say that with a lot more passion next time. I bet if he said go Red Sox, it would be a lot more passion behind that.
So, he said that he deleted the podcast.
So thanks again for everyone listening. Please share, please subscribe, and reach out to the team here at DBRDS. All right, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.